Welcome to the Healthy Skin Show with Jennifer Fugo, where we're flipping everything you've been told about your chronic skin issues upside down and connecting you with alternative solutions your dermatologist never told you about.
Welcome back to episode number 183 of the Healthy Skin Show. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about acne. And as you guys know, acne is not necessarily my wheelhouse. So it's important to me to find people who can really speak about acne in a very intelligent fashion. And I've got a great guest for you today, one who looks at acne from that root cause perspective and also really understands what it's like to go through this herself. The one thing that I've learned over the couple of years I've actually hosted the Healthy Skin Show is that acne is oftentimes more complex than what we are led to believe if you just watch commercials on TV. You might think that acne is just some sort of topical problem that you use these different products, creams and lotions, make sure that you have these particular type of cleansers and masks and all sorts of stuff in order to get rid of your acne. But the truth is there can be a lot that is driving acne internally. And while we've touched on some of that in terms of diet and nutrients and food, there also can be other things underlying it. And today's guest is going to touch on a bunch of those different points and share some really fascinating information with you about that. My guest today is Vivian Allred. Vivian studied to become a naturopathic nutritional therapist after struggling with many health issues during early adulthood. Getting no answers from conventional medicine, Vivian decided to take her health into her own hands and is now thriving. Her passion is to help other women identify and address the root causes of their symptoms, including acne, hair loss, and period problems. Vivian provides a ton of health education on her social media accounts and website, and she hosts a women's health podcast called Hormones in Harmony, where she interviews guests like myself, because I've actually been on her show, in the healthcare and nutrition industries. And you guys, she just has so much empathy for those who are struggling with chronic acne. I am so excited to have her here on the show, so let's dive in. Thank you, Vivian, so much for being here on the show. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'm so excited to chat with you again.
I know. And so for those of you listening, I was on Vivian's podcast. It was episode 97. And for those of you who aren't familiar, Vivian has a great podcast called Hormones in Harmony. So we'll link to that episode in the show notes so you guys can also check it out and also easily find her podcast because it really is a great resource no matter where you live in the world because it's available online for everybody to check out. And today we wanted to talk about acne because you guys know that I don't necessarily specialize in acne. That's not my wheelhouse. So I've had other people come on the show to talk about acne. And as I was talking to Vivian and checking out her stuff, I was like, oh, this is what she does. It'd be great to have her come on the show and talk about this because we don't have a ton of content on acne. And yet acne is something that can be just as embarrassing, painful, and it can also cause a lot of scarring to your, especially to the face, that can really leave people feel uncomfortable for a long time. And I know too, I've had clients where women will go through menopause and end up with acne, or you'll develop acne out of the blue in say your 30s. And you're like, I've never had this before. So Vivian, if you could share with us a little bit about your journey, I know that acne is this is like not just something you specialize in, but this impacted you directly.
Absolutely. It was like the biggest problem that I had for years. And I was struggling with like a ton of different health issues, like pretty complex and serious things. I was even having like seizures at some points and migraines, terrible digestive symptoms. But for me, acne, I just wanted my skin to be clear. So that was my driving force. It was one of the first symptoms that I ever experienced and one of the very last to clear up. Because really the skin, as you probably say all the time, is like one of the last things that the body puts energy and effort into until the body internally is healthy. So mine started when I was maybe 17 or 18, which is actually pretty late to the game. I thought I'd gotten away with the regular teenage acne. My skin was like clear as anything. And my friends were struggling with breakouts all the time. But mine was triggered by over-exercising, under-eating, going to the gym. So I was pushing my body too much and it was like really stressed and inflamed. And I lost weight, and that motivated me to keep going. And my body was just not getting enough nutrition. And I was just burning through my minerals and my calories too quickly. So I developed acne, my hair started falling out, my period stopped. I didn't really care about the period stuff because like an 18-year-old girl doesn't really care about that.
Yeah.
Though I know the importance of a menstrual cycle. But it was my mom who forced me to go to the doctors. They put me on the pill. The first one was Dianet, so it was like a really high estrogen or estrogen pill. And that made my skin even worse. I later found out that I have an issue with genetically detoxing estrogen. So I had the COMT gene. So that was a bad combination for me. Then I went on another pill called Yasmin, which is one that is more specific to skin and hair. They claim that it's the best one for those problems. So I went to the doctor requesting to go on Yasmin, and it did clear my skin. It stopped my hair shedding, but my hair literally didn't grow at all during that whole 2 years that I was on it. I think I shaved my legs like 4 times, which is really crazy to think.
And
even though my cycle, it was not a real period because the pill doesn't do that, but I was bleeding again. Everything was good for a couple of years, but then I started to develop other symptoms. So I started getting histamine reactions, multiple food sensitivities, IBS, anxiety, which I'd never had before. So then I started to think, okay, this isn't normal. I wanted to live more of a holistic, healthy lifestyle at that point. So I went to see a nutritionist. She told me about the potential dangers of the pill and how it's masking the problem. I came off the pill and kind of in that, when I first went to the doctors, I was diagnosed with PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is a very common cause of chronic adult acne in women in particular. So I came off the pill, acne came back with a vengeance, like it does a lot of the time, because the pill actually makes all of the underlying mechanisms of acne worse. So things like blood sugar imbalances and gut issues, which I'm sure we're going to talk about. So my skin was terrible, and then I developed all of these gut issues. So that was like a whole journey in itself. So it wasn't until I addressed those things, cleared the gut infections, got my liver working again, that my skin finally healed. And a little bit of a side tangent, but a big problem for me and a big cause was actually mold illness, mold exposure. And that was causing chronic immune suppression within my body so that my hormones couldn't function, so that my body couldn't regulate bacteria that's naturally on the skin. I had a ton of liver congestion because the mycotoxins impair detoxification. So this isn't something to jump to straight away. I'd done everything. So I tried healing my gut like 50 times. I tried all the liver cleanse herbs and had always seen some improvements. Like I got a certain benefit, but it would have to be that I'd be stuck on this restricted, organic, low histamine diet, hundreds of pounds worth of supplements every month, coffee enemas and detox things every week in order to have like semi-clear skin. And then I started to think, this isn't normal. I shouldn't have to rely on all of this support to be healthy. So once I moved, I only moved in mid-2020 from my previous home. And it wasn't until then that I really noticed a significant benefit. And now I feel the healthiest that I've ever felt. And my skin is the clearest that it's probably been since I was before 18.
And so it goes to show you, for those of you who know that I talk a lot about root causes are important, and a lot of times these are hidden, they're underneath the surface, and there is a hierarchy to them, because if you have something like mold, that can cause major problems despite having all these other issues that are issues. This is just like a huge, huge problem. And we've also heard a number of experts, like Dr. Jill Krista was on the show and talked about how you got to get out of that environment. Like there's no way around it. There's no supplements you can take that are going to fix it. You have to leave the environment that you were in that is causing that type of reaction. And I want to be clear here, not everybody who has acne has all of these issues. I think that's important. That's an important distinction to make. So I don't want someone to go, oh my gosh, what are you telling me? I have to leave my house. I've got mold issues. That's what's causing my acne.
Please don't jump the gun. Definitely not.
No, this is just Vivian going through her process and her journey and sharing that with you. And I really appreciate you for sharing that, Vivian, because I think a lot of people feel like they're crazy. You know, you feel like, wait, it could be all these things, because we're always told, well, just take a medicine, take this antibiotic. Like I was told, take tetracycline when I was a teenager to get rid of my acne. And fortunately, it did go away and it stayed away. But then I ended up with problems down the road years later. So let's talk a little bit about the connection between acne and gut issues. I know that we've talked a lot on the show about the importance of gut health, but I want in this particular episode to just let's hone in on how what's going on with acne. Like, why are there any particular reasons why, or certain things that could from the gut cause acne? Like, what would somebody need to know?
Mm-hmm. There's a few different mechanisms. So the gut really is the center of our well-being, the center of our body, literally. And it does have a knock-on effect on the rest of the body systems. So if your gut's not healthy, other things can't function, particularly hormones and particularly the skin. So most people are familiar with the gut microbiome, or like the rainforest of good and bad bacteria should be kind of 80-20, 80% good guys, 20% bad guys. The good guys keep them in check. And this main microbiome of the gut, it influences other microbiomes in the body. So the vaginal microbiome, but the microbiome of the skin in particular. So if you've got a dysbiotic bacteria, so too much bad bacteria as opposed to good, which is very common, that can affect your skin microbiome, and then you end up with an overgrowth of bacteria on there. So it's not the bacteria that's the problem a lot of the time, it's your immune response to that bacteria. And if your immune system's not healthy, like mine wasn't, your body's not able to keep that bacteria in check. Sometimes it's yeast on the skin, so people can get fungal acne or issues with dandruff on the scalp. So the gut microbiome can be affected by things like antibiotics that we know of. Mm-hmm. The birth control pill is believed to act like a low-dose antibiotic in the gut as well. So even if you've never touched a regular antibiotic, the birth control pill, if you've been on that for 5-10 years, which is very common these days, could be really affecting your gut health. Certain foods, so things like gluten has been shown to affect gut health, and just a bad diet overall, not enough fiber, too many trans fats, they can all affect the bacteria of your gut. So this can affect the skin and lead to conditions like eczema for some people, psoriasis. So the same things do apply. Probably the things that you've spoken about before are still relevant, but it just depends on kind of your genetic predispositions as to which skin condition that you develop. And then the other way that gut health is involved in skin health is with digestion and absorption of nutrients. So if you are eating this amazing organic diet, like I was, spending a ton of money every month on this great food, I wasn't actually digesting and absorbing and benefiting from those nutrients because of low stomach acid, poor bile flow, SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth, and other gut infections. Sometimes they can get to the nutrients before you can. So they're opportunistic. They see the food in the gut, and they benefit from that before you get the chance to digest and absorb it. So then you can end up with nutrient deficiencies. Even if you're eating this great diet, you can still be deficient. I see this all the time in blood work. Like sometimes the healthiest eaters, the healthiest lifestyle have the worst blood work, which is crazy to think.
I have seen the same thing actually. And I've had clients who are like, how is this possible? How did this happen? Like even their doctor's floored. They don't understand. And I'm like, well, the gut is such a mess that your body can't process and absorb what you're putting into it, unfortunately. I want to ask a question as you were talking. I know that we're mostly focused on adult acne today, but obviously this did start in your later teens, but you're still kind of a teenager. If there's a mom listening to this who feels really frustrated with her teen, well, maybe you don't, but like I was really frustrated when I was like 13, 14 years old. I had acne all over my face and was trying to deal with that. Does some of this still apply to teenagers, or do you just from your experience, do you know, is there like tweaks or where it might be like go, or you should look at it a little bit differently from a teenager compared to an adult?
Yeah, with most people and most people listening have probably had an issue with acne that did happen in puberty, that can be kind of normal because there is such hormonal fluctuations going on. So it may be that you don't really need to change much, and like which teenager is going to take supplements and eat like a clean their diet up too much, that can be difficult. So obviously eating nutrient-dense foods and making sure they're going to the bathroom every day, maybe a probiotic could be good. But a lot of the time it just kind of resolves on its own because the hormones just settle down. But if it does continue into adulthood, that's when there's more likelihood that there's this underlying driver involved. And for women in particular, if the acne is continuing from puberty and it does seem to flare up with the menstrual cycle as well, sometimes it can be chronic. I would recommend investigating PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, because that is one of the most common reasons for adult acne. But even PCOS, I'm really seeing that as being a symptom now. So I started with my nutrition research, just focusing on PCOS. I was like, it's all about the hormones, it's the hormones, and acne is a symptom of PCOS. But the more that I looked into it, hormones are, I know I have the Hormones in Harmony podcast, but hormones are like the tip of the iceberg. You could tweak your estrogen or estrogen and progesterone all day long, but if you've got chronic guts, liver, mineral detox issues under the surface, you're never going to fully address the hormone imbalances. So acne is complex. The gut is a huge piece, but there's some other things as well that can be contributing. And I know you talk a lot, and you did on the episode that we did on food sensitivities. That can be a factor as well with acne. So things like dairy have been shown to be a potential trigger. Gluten, refined sugar tend to be the top three with my experience and the research. But sometimes the food isn't the problem. It's the fact that you have an infection or poor bile flow, you're stressed. The food quality matters as well. So organic versus non can have a big difference. So I love acne because of how complex it is. And we were saying before, weren't we? Like, we feel like health detectives sometimes. And I've always said, if I wasn't a nutritionist, I always wanted to be a forensic detective or something like that on CSI.
Well, I think one of the things that people are most oriented to, right, is all of these topical products, right? Like I was saying, I go to the dermatologist. I forget what I took, Retin A or something for my acne when I was a teenager, and that probably didn't cut it enough. And then they gave me tetracycline, and they're like, well, it'll cut back on the inflammation. It's funny how a lot of times the justification of the use of antibiotics for skin issues is like, well, it reduces the inflammation. And I'm like, yeah, but it also does something to your gut. Yeah. Like, let's not discount that. So the thing is, with topical products, because the acne issue is on the outside, we think, well, if it fixes it, great, then I'm good. What's your take on topical products? And do you have any that you feel like might be good options for people to try?
I've always said a good topical skincare routine can make a big difference. And it did for me as well. But I think it's 80-90% internally driven and maybe 10-20% external. So if you're rubbing coconut oil on your face still, trying to be natural, trying to be organic, that's highly pore clogging. So that is not suitable at all for acne-prone skin. So that's a huge issue that I see all the time. And maybe it's just not pure coconut oil that you're rubbing on, but maybe you're using a blend of oils. If coconut is in there, that can be an issue. So there are lists online, pore clogging ingredients or comedogenic ingredients, and just have a search, like put your product label next to the list and just go through. If it's a very last ingredient on the list, it may not be as problematic. Whereas if it's one of the first five, then it may be worth swapping that out. But with acne, if you have acne, your skin is sensitive. So that's just a given. So you want to do less to your face. Less is always more. All of these 10-step beauty routines and harsh products, scrubs, it's just not a good fit. At least until your acne is significantly better, then you can experiment with all of these actives and vitamin C serums. But you want to really just start with the basics when you have inflamed acne. Get that under control first and then move to some of those other things. And then maybe you're left with hyperpigmentation afterwards and scarring. And then you go to some more professional treatments, microneedling, lasers. But again, don't do that until the actives have resolved. So exfoliation is very key. And I prefer to use chemical exfoliants over the physical manual scrubs. So chemical sounds more harsh, but it's actually not. There's different degrees. There's the chemical peels done by dermatologists, but you can do things like alpha hydroxy acids, AHAs. beta hydroxy acid BHAs in your skincare routine. Always start slowly if you're new to this, but that basically unclogs the pores and allows the skin cells to shed or slough off a little bit better, because with acne you end up with this hyperkeratinization, just kind of proliferative skin cell production, and things just aren't sloughing off fast enough. So then that clogs the pores, it mixes with the sebum, the oil that we all have, but people with acne tend to have a slightly different sebum composition than regular people. So they tend to be deficient in a fatty acid called linoleic acid, and they tend to have high levels of squalene in their sebum. So that exfoliation can be good, but start very slowly, but that just gives the body an extra support in getting those skin cells off. And then there are things like the retinoid family, so that's vitamin A derivatives. The kind of highest level would be the Roaccutane, isotretinoin. That's the medical grade that you need a prescription for, both oral and the topical side of things. But you could get over-the-counter retinoids. So things like Granactive retinoid, that is vitamin A, which we should be getting from the diet as well. So it should be an internal, external approach, like we were saying. But vitamin A also helps to reduce sebum production in the skin, and it helps with the skin cell turnover on the face as well. So exfoliation from chemical exfoliants. AHAs are water soluble, so they slough off the more surface level of the skin, whereas BHAs are oil soluble. So I'd use AHAs more for sensitive or drier skins. BHA is really good for those with very congested, oily skin, because it goes deeper into the pores. So it's just a bit of trial and error to get your body used to it. And then with the cleansing and the moisturization, I prefer to use oil-free formulations, just personally. I know that some people use certain oils, but I prefer to use them once the active acne is cleared up, because a lot of people do have issues with fungal acne with combination with the bacteria, and oil can feed the fungus and the yeast. So while we're not sure at that point, I prefer to use oil-free. Until the acne is significantly better, then we can go in with some additional oils.
Can I ask you a question? Because you're really the first person to mention this on the show. What is the difference between fungal-driven acne versus bacterial-driven? Like, is that something that a dermatologist makes a distinction, or are there different symptoms? Like, what does that, how do you figure that out?
There are certain patterns, and just the way that it appears can give insight as to whether it's fungal or not, but the dermatologist would be the best person to rule that in or rule that out. But we all have mites and bacteria and fungus and yeast on our skin just naturally, like trillions of organisms in and on our skin. But it's when, again, the maybe the good bacteria of the skin is suppressed because you've been overdoing the antibacterial products, the benzoyl peroxides, the creams, that the fungus is allowed to proliferate, similar to when you've taken antibiotics orally and then you end up with a yeast overgrowth or thrush afterwards. It's the same premise, but it's when the body can't control the yeast on the skin that it becomes a problem. So it's not the yeast that's the issue, it's your own body and its immune system.
Right.
Suppressed.
Right, exactly.
A lot of the time it happens on the forehead or kind of at the sides of the face, and it can be like the bumpy texture. So it never usually comes to a head, and it's never usually deep and inflamed like cysts. It's sometimes just texture on the skin. And if someone's also dealing with dandruff or any seborrheic dermatitis, that's another indication that they might also have yeast imbalances on the face, because it's on the scalp as well. And sometimes it's very itchy. And if your acne gets worse with oil, and when you're hot, humid and sweaty, or if you're wearing hats all the time and it's really under the area that the hat has been covering, then that's a potential other sign that it might be fungal driven.
Wow. That's really interesting. Thank you for sharing that. Because as you're describing all of these things, I can think of people I know in the past who I'm like, oh yeah, the hat area. Yep. And that is a very interesting point. So as we're kind of winding down here, because you know, your podcast is long, mine is a lot shorter. So obviously we have a lot more to talk about here. So I'll have to have you come back again. I wanted to just, I think, touch on maybe some important nutrients. You've talked about some that can be used topically, but What do you see in your practice that are some important nutrients? And also with that, do you recommend probiotics to clients that have acne issues? If so, are there any particular types you seem to like? But what are your thoughts on that, nutrients and probiotics?
I'm very cautious with probiotics because sometimes it can make things worse. So there's certain strains that are histamine liberators. So for me, I started off with fermented foods and just over-the-counter health food shop-based probiotics. And they actually made my acne much worse because at the time I didn't know that I had an issue with histamine sensitivity. My body was just very inflamed at the time. So you would need to start slowly, but if your body's getting a negative reaction from those things, don't just keep pushing through and taking more. Your body's telling you to back off a little bit. So the only real type of probiotic that I use these days are the spore-based probiotics. I think you also use Megaspore.
Yeah, Megaspore, yep. Mm-hmm.
That one's good because I kind of describe it as being like an adaptogen in the gut. So because we don't really know, if we've not done stool testing, if you've got very high levels of bacteria, very depleted levels of bacteria, it doesn't really matter with Megaspore because it goes into the gut and just improves. It knows what the healthy gut flora is. So that one's pretty safe to use, but because it's powerful, I always start off very low and slow with acne because the last thing I want to do is have someone have a flare or a purge of their skin, which can happen sometimes, the healing crisis. So for some of my clients, if they've never done probiotics before and they're also struggling with symptoms, I would start with like a sprinkle of the probiotic and just build their way up until it's tolerated. But that one's even been studied in clinical trials. And the microbiome labs did studies. I think they took a group of people and within 30 days of taking the Megaspore, they had a 45% reduction of acne lesions. So that's probably not doing anything else as well. So if you combine that with your diet and your topical as well, it can be really effective. And then additional nutrients. So this should be coming from diet, but sometimes because the soil's so depleted and because you've maybe been on other medication and your gut health's not been great, sometimes you do need to supplement. And in some cases, vitamin A or vitamin A supplementation can be useful, but you really need to be careful. And I would recommend working with someone on this because it is fat soluble. It can be toxic in high amounts. If you're someone who's recently been on Roaccutane or isotretinoin, the medication, you've probably got very high stores of vitamin A anyway, so you wouldn't want to then supplement because it's just a little bit too much. But using food as medicine is always my recommendation. So one of my favorite foods are organ meats, livers, like the highest source of vitamin A out there. So once a week, twice a week, that can cover your bases. And I see you're pulling your face.
I know. I'm not a... Me and liver, and it's more a mental thing. I used to love liverwurst as a kid, and then my sister was like, you know what that's made of? She ruined it for me. So,
yeah, so I love them. So I've never had a problem eating them, and they really do work. But even things like cod liver oil has got vitamin A in there as well. So that might be a good option. And just the fat soluble vitamin family overall. So we've got vitamin A, D, E, and K. A, D, and E in particular have special benefits for the skin. Vitamin D is pretty good for almost everything, anti-inflammatory, and sunlight is the best option, I think, for everyone, but especially if you're in the northern hemisphere and you're not outdoors, you're working inside, it can be hard to get enough, so sometimes that can help. And it helps with the immune system of the skin, keeping that bacteria. So it used to be called P. acnes, the bacteria that's associated, now it's called C. acnes. So depending on what you read, it's a little bit different. And another key one is zinc. So I think a lot of people have read when they get acne, it's like one of the first things that they take. So that's involved in activating the vitamin A. So you could be eating enough just from your diet, but if you're zinc deficient, you're not actually able to use the vitamin A from your diet and the storage. It's also involved in regulating androgen levels. So high male hormones is a big driver of acne. And especially if your skin is more on the oilier side, or you're also struggling with cycle irregularities, hirsutism, so face and body hair growth, that might be a sign that your androgen levels are a little bit too high. And it's also involved in healing the skin. So once the acne is gone, if you're left with a mark or a scar for a long time, it could be that you're zinc deficient. So diet first, so things like red meats, oysters, if you can tolerate those, liver again. But some people do need to supplement with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my goodness, this was so great. You've brought up so many good points that we haven't even talked about before. And like, you know, we're looking at like over 160 some episodes at the point of us recording this, and like haven't touched on a lot of this stuff.
I know.
And that's why I didn't even get to like all the things that you had set up for this, because this is an in-depth topic. And I think it'd be great if we could, and I especially would like to talk a little bit more, especially with your own personal journey on the history, or excuse me, the histamine issue that can be associated with acne. So I think we have to have you come back.
Absolutely.
So do you want to let everybody know how they can find you?
Of course. So my website is vivanaturalhealth.co.uk. So that's V-I-V-A, naturalhealth.co.uk. My Instagram is at vivanaturalhealth. My podcast is Hormones in Harmony.
Yes, and we're going to put all of the links in the show notes. That way it's super easy for you guys to find Vivian. And especially if you're in the UK, you're taking clients, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I see clients worldwide as well. So
perfect.
Even if you're not in the UK. The wonder of Zoom.
I know, it's amazing. So thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it. And we'll have to dive into this a little deeper in part two. So stay tuned, everybody. It's coming. Don't worry. But thank you so much, Vivian.
You're
I appreciate
welcome.
It.
Thank you, Jen.
I am so appreciative for Vivian joining us today. And don't worry, Vivian will be back. Stay tuned. We've got more acne content headed your way. Now, if you've got any questions, thoughts, or comments, or you want to see some of the resources that Vivian has mentioned, you can head on over to skintorupt.com/183 in order to check out this particular episode. And because I know that you guys are going to ask, I always get these questions after episodes, and I love the fact that you're so invested in your own health that you want to make sure to grab the types of products and supplements and take actions that the guests recommend. If you are interested or looking for Megaspore and you're in the United States, you can head to getmegaspore.com and you can grab your bottles there. And because acne can be so frustrating, so embarrassing, and so debilitating, if you know someone who is struggling with acne and they've tried all of the topical things, they've done it all, they've bought all the products, and they just feel totally stumped, they've maybe even tried changing their diet and it hasn't really done much, please share this episode with them, because I imagine that they would be so appreciative to know that there could be something else going on that has nothing to do with the next latest and most well-reviewed cream out there, that there could be something under the surface that's actually driving their acne. And if you haven't done so yet, take a moment to rate and review the Healthy Skin Show. Share what you love about the show. That way you can inspire someone else to take a moment, tune in, and get the information that could completely change not just their life, but also their skin. Then make sure to hit that subscribe button. That way you don't miss our weekly dose of inspiration, research, and news, all geared to helping you find those root causes under the surface, driving your skin nuts. Because we want to see you get back to that healthy skin, right? Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you in the next episode.